Welcome to this introduction to Gaslight, written by Patrick Hamilton in 1938. First presented at the Richmond Theatre, London, on December 5, 1938, Gaslight is a Victorian thriller which spawned the 1944 film starring Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer. This is the inaugural main stage production to open the newly renovated Her Majesty's Theatre and is presented by State Theatre Company South Australia, directed by Catherine Fitzgerald. The audio-described performances will be Saturday the 12th of September and Monday the 14th of September, provided by Access to Arts. On the 12th of September, there will be a sensory introduction at 1 p.m. The introductory notes will start at 1:45 p.m. and the performance itself at 2 p.m. This performance will also be Auslan interpreted. On the 14th of September, there will be a sensory introduction at 5:30 p.m. The introductory notes will start at 6:15 and the performance itself at 6:30 p.m. Following this performance, there will be a post-show question and answer. The production lasts for approximately 2 hours and 30 minutes, including one interval. Carol Wellman Kelly and Ruth Weldon will give the live audio description for Access to Arts. There now follows information with background to the play, descriptions of the set, characters and costumes, and a list of cast and production credits. This will be followed by some additional useful information and contact details. Gaslight. Verb. A form of psychological manipulation where a person seeks to make a targeted individual or group question their own memory, perception and sanity. In the program notes, the director states, the term gaslight has recently enjoyed a resurgence in the everyday vernacular to describe mistrust in relation to gender and world politics, in particular men and political leaders. Characters and costumes. The play opens with a vaudeville singer, Eileen Darley, performing in front of the stage curtain. She's dressed in black trousers, matching waistcoat and knee-length frock coat with a pink flower on her left lapel. Her red ringlets escape from under a black satin top hat. She wears black and white brogue shoes and wields a silver-tipped black cane as she cavorts across the stage. Later she removes the jacket, loosens her hair and narrates from a book. Elizabeth, Lizzie. The senior cook and housekeeper is played by Ellen Freeman, who shuffles around in a somber black full-length dress. The stiff fabric and corseted bodice has a swathe of black fabric around her ample hips, bunched into a bow and bustle at the back. Her grey hair is pinned up on top of her head, and a small white bow sits at her throat. Mr. Jack Manningham, played by Nathan O'Keefe, is a tall, slightly balding, with thick auburn sideburns. His long, thin limbs dangle in a brown-grey tweed trouser and waistcoat set, with a white wingtip collar and loose beige cravat-like necktie. He is well-kept and smart in his black lace-up shoes. He wears silver sleeve garters around his arms, just above the elbow. Mrs. Bella Manningham, played by Ksenia Logos, is delicate, pale and small-framed and blonde. Her hair has been styled and wound up on top of her head, but is now somewhat dishevelled. She is buttoned into a close-fitted blue velvet jacket over a matching full-length velvet skirt. The lapels and skirt ruffles are made of satin in the same deep blue shade. The Victorian bustle and high ruffle at the neck give her a stiff and awkward gait. Nancy, played by Catherine Sortini, is a sprightly, robust young woman with masses of black hair contained in a maid's white mob cap. A white apron crossed at the back and tied in a bow has long tails that hang down over her full-length dark grey work dress. Inspector Ruff, played by Eileen Darley, appears enigmatically in dark trousers, a rouge-pink shirt and waistcoat, brown long frock coat under a practical brown overcoat and pork pie men's hat. Around her neck hangs a tweed woolen scarf. She sashays around in brown suede lace-up shoes, sporting the same black cane as the vaudeville singer. The set. The action takes place in the formal lounge of the Manningham home. The lounge room is set on a raised platform in the middle of the stage. The walls of the lounge have irregular angles and panels, creating nooks and alcoves with multiple wall surfaces. There are two doors in the lounge. The main door, which leads to a hallway off stage, sits on the left side wall, and on the right wall, a door leads into Mr. Manningham's dressing room. Hanging from the ceiling to about halfway down the wall on the right side of the main door is a long bell pull cord to alert the house staff. The walls of the lounge are covered in a blue wallpaper with a vintage pattern of repeated leaves and flowers. There are slight rips and stains across the top corners of the wallpaper. Running across the top of the walls where they meet the imagined ceiling, there is a half-meter wide strip of green wallpaper with repeated patterns of pink, white and brown flowers. The doors, skirting board and floorboards are all made of wood, as is the frame of the window that sits along the back wall. The wooden Venetian blind in the window is lowered but hangs it at an obscure angle. There is enough room between the slats to peer out into the street below. Pulled to the right side and held back with a woven cord is a heavy pale blue velvet curtain. Placed in front of the curtain is a wooden coat and hat stand hung with two overcoats, and sitting on the floor beside this, a white umbrella stand with green trim. In the centre of the room, a white lace tablecloth covers a round polished wooden dining table with two matching chairs. Sitting approximately 1 metre in front of the table is a chaise longue in red fabric with embroidered flowers. A velvet red blanket with white trim is strewn across the back of the lounge. To the left of the chaise longue, sitting half a metre back, is a large heavy leather chair with large, high-backed, thick arms. A leather-bound footstool is placed in front. Next to the chair is a small round side table balanced on three curved legs. Behind the chair on the left wall is a carved wood fireplace with a mantel above. On the mantel is a large mirror in an ornate wooden frame rounded at the top. The mirror is dirty and smudged and the reflection is unclear. On the mantel is a large mint green glass vase containing two peacock feathers. Either side of the vase are matching ceramic dog statues. In front of the fireplace is a brass stand with equipment to keep the fireplace clean, a shovel, poker and a broom. To the left of the fireplace is a decorative chair with a leather seat, curved wooden arms and rounded wooden back. On the right wall, opposite the fireplace, is Mr. Manningham's bureau, a polished wooden desk with a lid that folds down to become a writing surface. It has a number of drawers within and two drawers below the lid. Piles of books sit on top, including a Bible, alongside a brass desk lamp with a circular cut glass shade. To the left of the desk, sitting in the alcove near the dressing room door, is a wooden cupboard with three shelves on top that display glassware and decorative plates. Here, Mrs. Manningham keeps her medicine, a small vial with a dropper and another with smelling salts. On the floor between the desk and the cupboard is Mrs. Manningham's box. It is wooden and shiny with polish and houses her embroidery and other belongings. On the right of the desk, towards the edge of the lounge, is a 1 metre high wooden statue of a bear standing with its arm up. Its paw is open, flat, and holds a candelabra. The walls are covered in many paintings, including china plates with scenes painted on them. A large landscape sits above the main door, and portraits of the Manninghams, each in an oval frame, sit either side of the fireplace. Below each portrait is a gas light with two more lamps mounted on the opposite wall above the bureau. Each has rounded glass covers, metal fixtures, and small round dials to control the level of light. Cast and production credits. Playwright, Patrick Hamilton. Director, Catherine Fitzgerald. Designer, Elsa Patterson. Lighting designer, Nick Mollison. Composer, Andrew Howard. Stage manager, Abigail Hoyer. Assistant stage manager, Steph Bone. Cast. Inspector Ruff, Eileen Daly. Elizabeth, Ellen Freeman. Bella Manningham, Ksenia Logos. Jack Manningham, Nathan O'Keefe. Nancy, Catherine Sortini. Understudies, Martha Lott and Mitchell Boutel. Please note, this production contains smoke haze. Access information. Audio description. The audio describer delivers a live verbal commentary via a personal headset, providing information on the visual elements of a performance as it unfolds. To ensure you tell the box office that you are planning to use the audio description so a headset can be booked for you. Sensory information tour indicates a 30-minute guided sensory tour 1 hour prior to a live performance, visual art, or museum exhibition. This may include costumes and props that may be touched and a tour of the onstage set if practical. The pre-show audio notes. These notes are available in audio format on the websites for State Theatre Company of South Australia and Access to Arts. Booking tickets. To book access tickets, please call BASS on 131 246. The venue. Her Majesty's Theatre is located at 58 Grote Street, Adelaide, directly across from the Central Markets. The venue has been recently renovated. The foyer space is increased. There are now lifts and bathrooms and bars on each level. The theatre has kept the influence of original Art Deco design with red velvet carpet and brass fixtures. When entering through the main doors, the tall double doors to the stalls are directly in front, with the curved wooden stairwells to the other levels on either side of you. When entering, take a sharp left to get to the new foyer, where you will find the bar, BASS counter and bathrooms. There is an accessible entrance to the stalls on the left under the stairwell just before you reach the new foyer. The theatre is wheelchair accessible and guide dog friendly. COVID safe behaviour. 1. Do not come to the theatre if you have a cold or flu symptoms. Contact BASS on 131 246 to exchange your ticket or seek a refund. 2. Wash your hands often and use hand sanitizer. 3. Cover coughs and sneezes in your arm. 4. Keep 1.5 from others wherever possible in foyers and queues. 5. Download the COVID-safe app for speedy contact tracing. Please note, Adelaide Festival Centre venues are cash-free. Due to the current social distancing rules, the bars are closed. An audience will be asked to stay in their seats during interval unless they need to use the facilities. Seating is checkerboard, which means there will be a seat between all audience members, even those who attend together. Car parking and public transport. Currently, there are no taxi zones in front of the theatre, but there are loading zones on Grote Street and down the side on Pitt Street. There are bus stops directly in front of theatre on Grote Street, and the tram stop at Victoria Square is about a 5-minute walk to the venue. Being centrally located, there are many parking options around the Grote Street precinct, including on Pitt Street, in the Adelaide Central Markets, and Wilson Parking on Franklin Street at number 23 Franklin Street. Up-to-date parking and access information should be obtained by calling Adelaide Festival Access Officer on 8216 quadruple 4, 8216 4444, or email access@adelaidefestival.com.au. For more information on audio described performances, please contact Jody Holdback at Access to Arts by telephone 8463 1689 or email audio.describer@access2arts.org.au.